the Inno the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 52 of the Inno the Buzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Kim Doyle, the WordPress chick. Of course, Kim is well known in the WordPress community as someone who is a prolific content producer. She runs courses, she runs workshops, webinars, and hosts two podcasts, the WordPress Chick podcast and the Hustle Free podcast. We talked on this episode about consistency of message and how to share information that is of incredible value to your audience. And we talked a lot about podcasting. This is another fascinating and high-energy interview with a lot of inspirational content. So, without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Kim Doyle. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really honored to have with me here today on this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from the beautiful Bay Area of San Francisco in the US of A, Kim Doyle, the WordPress chick. Welcome, Kim. It's a privilege to have you on the InnovaBuzz podcast. I think it's long overdue.
Thanks for having me, Jürgen. I'm super honored and excited to be here. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, should be fun, yes. Now, for those of you that are in the WordPress space would know Kim very well. She's not only an expert in all things WordPress, she's a podcaster. She runs training workshops. She runs online courses and webinars. And I think somewhere you described yourself as an information junkie.
Yes, I did. You know, I spent like 10 years in the book industry, you know, like at the end of high school and worked my way up. And so I'm like this avid reader. I love learning stuff. So yeah, I'm definitely an information junkie, but hopefully it's not at the detriment of applying things or implementing.
Yeah, that's always the risk, isn't it? Shiny object syndrome, I think it's called.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny. And, you know, I don't want to go too sideways, but it was probably close to a year ago now, like the tail end of 2016, I hired a Facebook ad agency. We were doing some podcasting done for you services. And like, we still do it. It's just like I mentioned to you before the call, I'm kind of working my way out of some services. But what was fascinating about working with them is I just a light bulb went off. Talk about a slow learner. I'm going into year nine in March of next year. Is year nine for me doing this. And it's like all of a sudden I've gone back to the fundamentals. And working with this ad agency, I've gone back to, you know, core direct response marketing principles and email marketing and copywriting. And, you know, when you start implementing that stuff, the shiny object syndrome isn't as appealing.
Yeah. Okay. So, you talked about being a lifelong learner and that. When you were a young child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
The fun thing, first I wanted to be a rock star. So we literally, like a friend and I thought we were going to be music. Because I grew up playing piano. I played for about, I don't know, almost 10 years and was in a children's choir and all that stuff. But truthfully, I thought I'd go into graphic design. So it's kind of fun how it just kind of came full circle. And the other thing is I was at one point in college, I was a speech major because I really also shifting from design. I took some design classes in college. And I think at the time I was just a little bit too I love drawing and art too much to go into a competitive space. Like I didn't have the confidence and I didn't want to be shot down or criticized, I think. So I went into I was a speech major. For a while, I really wanted to do motivational speaking. So it's all kind of come full circle with what I do with podcasting and, you know, web and content. And I still am a huge design fan. I would not say I'm a designer, you know, so, but I really did want to do that. And so it's kind of fun that it's just a different platform.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to say that you're a rock star now in the podcast area and of course, in the WordPress industry.
Well, thanks. I don't know if I'd say that, but...
Okay, so tell us a little bit then about... Because you essentially are publishing blogs every day, I think, isn't it? Because I seem to get an email in my inbox every day with a blog post from you. And tell us a little bit how you managed to have the energy and the creativity to generate so much content.
That's funny, Jürgen, because since you're on my list, like I didn't used to do this. My emails were sporadic at best. And I've kind of run the gamut in this space. Like I did the high ticket masterminds and I've done Facebook advertising. And I mean, I still believe in paid traffic, but I always go back to Dan Norris, right? Who built WP Curve to a seven-figure business in 18 months with content only. And the tough thing is that content is the marathon strategy, right? And
that's right. Yeah.
And so it's hard when you're first starting out. And so what happened is I found I should get a commission every time I mention his name. But this guy, Ben Settle, it's just bensettle.com. And he is like this prolific email guy. And I probably subscribed to his list for a good year, Jürgen, before I became a customer. Mm-hmm. And so I subscribed to his monthly email players. And it's a $97 print publication that comes in the mail, which I love. And I really found the method because it's more like a story kind of. And it's not always a link to my content. Sometimes it's affiliates. Sometimes it's a service or a product, which I'm sort of retooling my brand. So eventually it'll be more links to my own products and services. But I just wanted to get good and at the copy and the content piece of it. I've always enjoyed writing content, but in the WordPress space, I sort of fell into this, how to do this and how to do that, which you then have to be careful because you can build a list of freebie seekers. You know, I'm a firm believer in giving value and creating, but it's a business. You have to be able to sell. And I really got in my own way for a long time. And so the content piece, like everything is content to me now. like the one I sent out today was because I'd gotten an email from Coach Percy, yeah, right? Yeah, it was like
I read that one. That's fascinating the way you kind of took that experience and translated it into something. So tell us more about that, the coach story.
Well, yeah, because so for everybody listening, it's like I feel like I can almost turn and you. It's just practice, like anything else. That everything to me is a story for content. So I subscribed to Coach Purses, their website. I've bought their bags in the past. I'm not a huge purse person totally, but anyway, so it's like I've been seeing what they're doing lately. And it's like every time I see these purses, I'm like, these are ridiculous. Like they're just, they're bizarre looking, right? And Coach is, to me, was synonymous with class and sort of elegance. And like, I'm not a big fashion person, but the clean, simple, nice bags, right? And so a few weeks ago, someone had sent me a picture of a Coach bag with literally Pac-Man on it. And I was like, who? And these are like $500 bags. I'm like, is somebody really buying this? So then today when I saw the dinosaurs, literally this, for people listening, it's like, are you going to spend $500, $600 on a bag with a dinosaur on it? And then the attached, right?
You do get the wooden attachment, right?
Yeah, you get this wooden skeletal dinosaur with it. And it's like, and the fact that, so then I clicked through because I was first, it was funny when I was trying to find the image of the bag, their website is not conducive or their search is awful. But when I found the dinosaur stuff, I went to the page. I'm like, why are they selling dinosaur charms? Like, seriously? Or sweaters with dinosaurs? It was the strangest thing to me. And so I tied that in with the fact that I've gotten clearer as I've done more content. And I can tell you some of the results I've gotten from this, the emails and the content. But as I've done more of this, I've gotten much more clear on my messaging. And so when I go to launch the brand, the tagline is a place where WordPress and marketing collide, because that's really my happy place. I like being able to show the user, like the everyday, I'm not going to show somebody how to code a site. I'm not going to show them, I'm not ever going to have code snippets that are downloadable. I don't know that stuff. And so when I got clear on that, everything just kind of started to fall into place. And so it was simply sharing the story of know who you're serving. You know, there's all these exercises and ways that you can get, you know, dial down your target audience and your avatar and your branding. But for me, what's really worked is just applying it and writing and sharing and engaging and just showing up and doing the work as opposed to there's so much planning and strategizing. So each time I write, I get closer and closer, and it just, I can knock those emails and posts out quickly now.
Yeah, well, you touched on a lot of really interesting things there. And I think the core of the whole thing is knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to, knowing who is going to be interested in what you have to say and what you have to offer. So, you know, that coach example is a really good one. I mean, I don't know whether, you know, the ideal coach handbag or purse purchaser is interested in Pac-Man or dinosaurs, but it certainly sounds like they may not have tested that. But yeah, so the idea of understanding your audience, building that avatar, but then, like you say, taking action on the back of that rather than, because a lot of people do that exercise and it's like a bit like a business plan, right? It ends up in the drawer and forgotten.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I've done all this quote-unquote work. You know, I interviewed on my show a week ago Dustin Stout, who is this great, prolific social media guy, and he is one of the founders of Warfare Plugins for their social warfare sharing plugin. And I loved what Dustin said about when he writes, you know, because he said, you know what, it's a lot easier to write to one person. So if you're going to do the avatar thing, like I sort of would say that my audience is sort of where I was in my business a few years ago. Mm. And male, female, 6 of 1, because it's my audience is almost split down the middle. But it's, you know, it's, you go through that. And so when I write, I mean, I write in my own voice. I write the way I talk. And I'm like, you know, I think I told you guys this before. And I write like that. And it works. Yeah. The more I show up as myself, the better the content works.
Yeah. And that's important as well, because when people then meet you or speak with you and it's all congruent with the experience they've had right from the beginning, then everything's lined up. And if they don't like that, well, they're probably not going to work with you anyway, though never would have worked with you. But if there's an incongruence somewhere, then the message is diluted or it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I actually learned that, Jürgen, it was 6 years ago now. I did this movie, which you can't find it. It's not for sale. but it was called Women in Business 2.0. And I interviewed, I was in the movie, and then I had 14 other women. Some are seven-figure earners. They're all online marketers. And I can't begin to tell you how odd it was to meet some of these people in person who did not match their brand. You know, like their brand came across as happy, and some I was like, ooh, I don't think I like you too much, you know, or that maybe the persona, the brand online was very, I don't know how to say this. I get super, super polished. And at the same time, like I loved her everyday personality. I'm like, I wish this is who you were, right? But that wasn't her audience, and we all have different sides to us, so I totally get that. I just can't have both. Like this, I don't have the energy to be somebody else online.
Well, in some ways, it's a little bit like being in the corporate world, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of things that we talk about being entrepreneurs and the freedom that gives us and not being locked into the corporate world, but I think there's some of that there as well, isn't there? Because we have to kind of fit in with whatever the corporate identity is. And even if, you know, we're in a job that we love, there is that corporate identity and our personalities might be quite different.
Yeah. And I think, like, I use the term all the time, old school marketers, sort of, you know, before social media got really big, you had a lot of people that were doing internet marketing. And it was enough about me. What do you think about me? It was all about them all the time. And I think with social media, that there's a level of distrust that happens now, you know? So it's like, I have to tell you, probably of those 14 people, there's only one that I even follow online anymore. Everybody else I unsubscribed. I don't follow them socially, because if I see somebody posting on social media and all they do is talk about themselves and look at me. And, you know, as opposed to because to me, and obviously this is my interpretation, it sort of comes across that there's this fear of competition as opposed to here's something of value. It's going to serve my audience. If they want to hire that person instead of me, great. It's a better fit, you know, and you move on. But so I just got tired of that. And so I think there's that sort of old school mentality. And I'm also not of the mindset of moving the free model where everything should be free either. You got to find your happy place. But I don't think business is done that way anymore.
Yeah. I guess there's a certain insecurity that comes with that, isn't there?
Yeah, it comes across like, what really, are you the only person that has something of value to say?
Yeah. I could go into politics here, but I'd steer away.
Especially with what we're going through, let's not go down that road.
I wanted to come back to something you said earlier, and you just touched on it then as well, around the balance between free information and turning that into a business. Because there is, you know, as you say, giving value and giving enormous value without any expectation is probably one of the best marketing tactics right now. But how do you find the balance between where you then transition that into paid services or paid products?
Well, the first thing, you know, is consistency with however you're going to do it. And so I know, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, his, you know, jab, 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 right hook. It's sort of that, I've heard someone else say free, 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 fee, right? And so the sooner you can sell, I think the better, to be honest with you. But I think you have to establish a relationship. But, you know, here's an example. So with all of the this sort of email marketing that I'm doing, this because it's the goal is a daily email. And a lot of people think, God, I wouldn't want to hear from you, or, you know, that it's too much. I've gotten more responses doing this and people saying, you know, I don't normally read these, but I love this and whatever, and sharing of my content and all that good stuff. So what I sell right now, because I don't even have, like, I've got website clients, but it's all through referral. Like, I don't even have a portfolio on my site anymore. And so it's with the traffic I get, I do a lot of affiliate marketing. Now, the thing is, it's stuff that I use and I create content around. So I have no problem creating, you know, an epic post, so to speak, with, say, you know, 4 videos. And like I did this for the Thrive Content Builder. I think it's a great alternative for landing pages and funnels and stuff. So I did this new post. I did 4 videos and I did a couple content upgrades where they could download a PDF within the post. And so I have no problem sending that out. And people know I'm using it. I'm showing them how to use it. Why don't you buy through my link? That type of thing. So I think if your goal is always a value and you know that your product or service is going to solve a problem for somebody, then I kind of like that free, free, free fee, or, you know, Gary's saying. But you have to do it sooner rather than later, because I felt like I had to retrain an audience of people who were used to just getting free stuff from me.
Hmm.
I don't know if I answered your question, but I would do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, that's a really good answer, actually. The challenge, I think, for a lot of people, and you know, I often find myself in this situation, is that you wonder whether that audience that expects everything for free is the right audience. So, you know, it comes back a little bit to really understanding your audience to start with. But then at the same time, in the big corporate world, they don't expect anything for free, so that the idea of the marketing free fee concept may not work as well there.
Well, you know, it's funny because I love using offline examples because it makes people look ridiculous when it comes to online. I don't know where the idea of entitlement came from online, or that everything's supposed to happen immediately, you know. I don't know if you read the email I had sent an email last week about somebody who uses the outsourcing and they haven't, you know, used it as much for the last few months. And, well, can I get a credit now? And I was like, no, you know, it's kind of like, and I use the example of my gym membership. If I don't go in there, they're not going to give me a free month because I didn't use it last month, you know, or when people get, you know, because it's this, offended is the best word. People almost get, you know, like irritated that you're selling something in an email, or, you know, and I don't get a lot of it anymore because I've taken a very strong stance. But here's an example, you know, like I joke around, like if I go into the grocery store, you know, we're coming up on Halloween in the States. It's like, if I walk in and there's a table of Halloween cookies, I'm not going to get pissed off because the first thing I see are cookies on sale, or nor do I get offended when they're trying to upsell me at the registers with gum and candy and magazines. It's like, meh, it's business, right? We don't get, you know, this, we don't have this personal affront when it's offline. It's the strangest thing to me. I'm like, this is a business. I'm not interested. Like, I love what I do, but I have to pay bills. I've got, you know, and so it's kind of funny. Or when people, they get so offended. I've always been one of those people. I'm like, if you don't like the song, turn the channel. If you don't like the show, don't watch it. You know, like, I don't understand that stuff. So, but the stronger stance you take on it, it's almost like when we were talking about your audience, you know, it's okay to polarize people, you know, love, yeah. Who was it? Erica Napolitano. I love this line. She said, love me, hate me, but don't be indifferent. I was like, ooh, I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's good. So, and it's good to have an opinion because, you know, people, as you say, people either identify with you or they don't, and that's okay. And it does.
But that's. I'm totally sorry. That's content too, Jürgen. So, this is.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that generates a discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sorry. You can tell I get excited about this stuff, and it's because it was like I had used another line. And again, Ben Settle, if you subscribe to him, he calls out the trolls or snowflakes, as he calls them, all the time. And it's hysterical because, you know, he's still doing his thing and, you know, serving people and his business is simple. But I had used the term when I did that Thrive post. It took me a few weeks to finish it because I accidentally rendered my videos like in like super crazy Blu-ray quality. I was like, why is this taking like an entire day to render? Anyways, it was, you know, one of those. And I was like, okay, this isn't working. So it took me a few weeks to get this thing finished because then I did this downloadable PDF and all this stuff. So I used the subject line. I think my street name is Tenacious D. And I didn't know Jack Black, the actor, his band is called Tenacious D. I had no idea, right? Mm. And I was using it because I was being tenacious. My last name begins with the D. So I was just being funny. It just sounded good. Mm. Somebody responded to me and said, you could at least come up with your own, or can't you come up with your own name? And I was like, yeah. What? So I unsubscribed her immediately. And then... The next day I emailed with, well, someone got snarky and I had all these people laughing about like most. So it's okay to polarize. Like if that's going to piss her off, she's never going to be a customer anyways.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And what often surprises me is that people think, you know, we're talking about the expectation of free or publishing or whatever, that online people think marketing and sales is different. It's no different than in the physical world. It's about building a relationship with the right people who need your product or your service. It's just that online, the mechanism, how you build that relationship is different.
It is. And, you know, another example of this is, again, this was email content, but a friend of mine is in a private Facebook group, and she was sharing with me that somebody complained in the group because she, and mind you, the Facebook group was for people who'd purchased a course on webinars. And so this person, you know, kind of did this little rant in this group and said, here's some pain points for your next sales letter to all the marketers. You know, I'm tired of purchasing extra software. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired, you know, and just her frustration level was very apparent. And I get it. Like I've been there where it feels like you're just spinning your wheels. And she said, and she said, you know, I'm tired of working all day long, you know, and having nothing to show for it or offer anybody after 10 weeks. And I thought, where offline would you expect in 10 weeks to have a profitable business? Mm. Right? I mean, mind you, there's a lot of ways that you could make good money online quickly, but you have to either have money or time, like one of the two, right? And you got to do your due diligence. But it was just, so on one hand, I saw her frustration. On the other hand, I thought 10 weeks is nothing, sweetheart.
Mm, that's right. And I mean, some of these programs, people join them and think that or believe that, and it's a little bit like the free discussion we were having earlier, isn't it? They believe that if they're given a system and they're shown step by step how to do something, that's all that's required. But they tend to forget that they've actually got to do the work from there.
Well, yeah, and a lot of these systems, so like take the example of a webinar course. Well, you're going to have to work a lot harder to sell a webinar, to sell a high ticket something or a course. It doesn't have to be high ticket. But if you're going to sell something from a webinar platform, if you don't have an audience, if you don't have a list, if you don't communicate regularly, if you haven't established trust and built up your business. So I really do get it that it's this, you know, which came first, a chicken or the egg kind of thing. But people get so enamored. Ben Settle calls it flake book, right? About the latest guru. he's really funny about the latest guru doing this course or that course. Well, all of those things are great, but you have to have the foundation, you know? And so for me, I joke that I'm always a slow learner. I was like, Oh my God. I mean, I've been creating content consistently this year for sure, you know, but I've stuck with the brand. Like when I came up with the WordPress chick, I didn't know what I was doing. I fell in love with the platform and I knew it was a good name and I just stuck with it. But the thing is, it's like, it's really tough because here's a great example, Jürgen, is you hear people all the time, you know, build your list, build your list, build your list. And people get tired of that or they don't want to seem smarmy or pushy. Go to any of Neil Patel's sites and you will get hit with four ways to opt in on one page or post, right? He is not shy about it. Clearly it works.
Definitely not. No. It's
you know, and it works. Yeah, it's frustrating. We'll see what happens when Google slaps down in January. And it's like, yeah, I'm like, really? Mm. Do I have to register for this webinar again?
Yeah. I mean, I find it frustrating when, you know, I mean, Neil's just one example. And he's got great stuff. And that's why
he's brilliant.
Because I love reading his stuff. And then, you know, and I'm already subscribed to several of his lists. So I find it frustrating. Hey, I came here to read your stuff. Stop putting these pop-ups up. But, you know, and a lot of people I speak to say, oh, look, I hate those pop-ups. I don't want to have them on my site. And I say, well, I hate them too. But here's the thing. They really work. There's nothing as effective as they are.
No, there isn't. And it's, you know, it's like it's interesting with, you know, Google doing this slap coming in January and the fact that they're going towards this mobile first experience. And so you think, okay, well, how can I, which is why I love content upgrades. I like creating content. I like content upgrades. But as long, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can get around that. And so here's a question for you, Jürgen, and I'd be curious. You know, with websites, you see, a very current design trend is the big hero image across the top. And I like that on the homepage, but then the style tends to be pulled through so that the featured image is maybe the entire full width of the page, you know, and it's tough because while I like the way it looks, I'm thinking that is really valuable real estate.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and so, and I went to, again, because I read Neil's stuff, and he had done this experiment, this $100,000 a month experiment to get a site to $100,000 a month. And the site is nutritionsecrets.com. And so if you go there, they are using lead quizzes to generate leads. But they're, you know, at the top of every page, one, it's in the navigation, take the diet quiz. And then instead of a hero image at the top of every page is a super clean, it's a very clean, simple site, but is this, you know, find out your diet personality, take the quiz. And so I thought, I'm going to do that. I prefer that. And then still on the same page down in the sidebar is the take the quiz. And it doesn't look obnoxious and it's clean. And I thought, you know, so you have to be careful. And it's like, if your objective is to grow a business and I know that I'm creating content and doing the right things with that stuff. So I don't mind. I'm like, if you want more, or you want this, or you want, I want to grow my list. So that's one of those things that you have to really get the fundamentals down. And there's so much information. And like you said, the shiny object syndrome, you know, it's like an Instagram course or Facebook ads or, you know, build your list. Like I do a build your list over the other two personally.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And it is important that, you know, that top real estate is just, you know, that's worth 100 times what the rest of the web page is, anything that comes up. And particularly when you think about going mobile first, you know, you have big hero image and then you bring it up on mobile and that's all you see. And I was reading something the other day that, you know, the conventional wisdom in the web industry is that people have an attention span of about 3 to 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I was reading something the other day that said, there's scientific evidence and statistics that they were quoting that our attention span on average has now reduced to 2 seconds.
Holy moly.
So imagine bringing something up on the mobile phone. All you see is the hero image. Now, 2 seconds isn't enough time to scroll down and find some useful information. So it's interesting, isn't it?
And really quick, you know, the lead magnet piece of it in terms of, you know, the email or whatever, it's like they get that should be within the hero image on the homepage. But if you're creating content, you're not sending people to your homepage all the time. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So we've just built a website for a local landscaping business, and you know, it's important. You mentioned this also. It's important to know what's the objective that you want to achieve. So in this case, we decided, you know, the objective in the first case is to get people to actually ring them or request a quote, or you know, give them the contact details so they can come around and quote for a job. So on the top of every page, we do have a background image on the website so that it does look a little bit like a hero image. But over the top of that background image on the same real estate are two buttons that say, you know, call us and or request a quote, and it's a call to action, and that's on the top of every page. And if you bring it up on mobile, the hero image essentially vanishes and you've just got those buttons. So it's just a case of pressing the button and it goes straight through to a phone call.
Yeah, and don't you think, you know, I don't work with, I don't do anything local, because it was very, I always felt like I had to, there was so much education required. I mean, I've done it for, like, the last local site was a barter for a local spa that I know the owner, and I was like, yeah, I'll take massages for a year. This is great, you know, but.
Yeah, this is a personal connection as well.
You know, because a lot of times it was like, it's not just putting up a website. I should take that back, as I'm working on a microbrewery site, and the guy that,
free beer.
Yeah. The guy that has the money, not the brewers and stuff, but kind of the guy who's funding it, literally said, well, I don't see the point of the website. Why can't we just use Facebook? And I was like, well, unless your name is Mark, I'm pretty sure you don't own that stuff on Facebook. So, you know, and so that's the whole point of it. It was like, fortunately, you know, they've got someone else that brought me in and has a marketing background, all that stuff. She's like, because that's not our own property, but it requires so much education, the local. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. To each his own.
Yeah, that's right. But again, as I say, it's a personal connection. So, and they're actually good. They basically let me do what I think is right, which is,
yeah. And I should clarify that there are a lot of I mean, the spa did the same thing. They were like, because they were getting complaints because there were, they sell gift certificates and people couldn't buy gift certificates through the website. So the month that we took the site live, their gift certificate sales went up 76%. So, you know, it works.
Does work. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So you've talked quite a bit about growing your list. What one of the things, when did you, the segue is, I'm interested how you grew your podcasting audience, whether you used your list to do that, Nat. But let's take a step back from that and tell us about how you got into podcasting in the first place.
Yeah, I launched my podcast about 3.5 years ago. Literally, Jürgen, I just wanted to have more fun in my business. I was a big Pat Flynn listener, and I loved podcasting. And like my days in the book industry, this is totally going to date me, but you know, I did the whole cassette tapes in the car. Like I've always been, I like audio because like I'm that totally obnoxious person shopping that has a headset in all the time. Like just don't even bother me because I'm listening to something. So it kind of came from, and so here's the funny thing. And I had this ranty Skype conversation with a friend. And so I copy and pasted the Skype conversation into a blog post. And then I created this manifesto, and it was like, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. And I made a video, the whole nine yards, because I just hit this point where, you know, when I started my business, I thought it was going to be this like, you know, millionaire information marketer. I would just write an ebook and become a millionaire. Well, it doesn't work that way. But, and like I said, I kind of fell into WordPress. So for podcasting, I knew that the way I just wanted to have fun. And I was like, I am just going to be myself. I need to show up in a genuine way. And that's it. Like I didn't have a launch plan. I didn't have a strategy. I knew it was creating content. And I'll tell you, within the first 3 or 4 months, iTunes became one of my top three traffic sources. And my site had been online for 5 years at the time. So that tells you a lot, right? And so all of a sudden, I mean, I've gotten website clients, podcast clients, coaching, the relationships, the friendships, you know, that there's a lot of intangibles that happen with podcasting, like Troy Dean. I consider him a dear friend. You know, he's out to San Francisco. Mm. Was super excited to get, and all of that was because of the podcast. So I've connected with just some amazing individuals, and I am always my goal. I think, like, where else do you get to say, here's my platform, I have an audience, let me share your message. You know, mind you, I do solo shows too, and some people are like, how do you talk for an hour? I'm like, clearly I'm chatty, you know, and but all that is I just needed to show up as myself. And I thought, I'm going to share the journey. I'm going to, you know, own the fact that I'm not a coder and a programmer, but I still can find my own space within WordPress. And it just resonated with people. You know, I got an email yesterday from someone that says, you know, this is my first time, you know, leaving a comment, but I'm enjoying your journey and just thanks for being you kind of thing. And it's like, oh, thank you. I needed that today. And, you know, so it's people... Yeah. Resonate, like there's that connection piece, and I don't think you can get better than a podcast. Like, videos clearly not go anywhere, it's awesome, but like I can't watch a video and drive my car. you know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I love to, you know, I used to like driving, but I've since decided it's a waste of time. But I love to now sit in the car if I've got a long drive. I think beautiful. I just program a podcast playlist and away I go, and often I get to my destination and I'm a bit disappointed because I'm right in the middle of one of the podcasts.
Absolutely. You know, I'll never forget the last time I was commuting and I had an hour commute each way. I listened to a 10 CD, The Da Vinci Code, unabridged, and I was so irritated every time I got to work. I was like, I don't want to get out of the car. But it is. And to me, I'm like, you know, I'll go for a walk and I've got a podcast or, you know, an audiobook or something. Like, I go get any services I do. I'm like, just nudge me if you need me. I'm going to be listening to something. You know, so there's this intimacy. And so, like, when I do a solo show, and I always tell people that there is, you know, to kind of baby step your way into what you choose to share, because there's a difference between personal and private, I think. And so you have to find what's right for you, you know. And I always use the example of, you know, Dr. Brené Brown, whose TED Talk, you know, went ridiculously viral, super fast. You know, fast forward, I don't know how many years ago her first TED Talk was, but it's like she's got a column in Oprah. You know, she's been on Super. She's got best-selling books. She's this brand because she's a shame researcher. She talks about vulnerability. I think people are looking for that connection again because we've kind of become disconnected. And this is all the stuff, Jürgen, that I wouldn't have talked about before. But then you go backwards and look at direct response marketers who, when they talk about copy and persuasion and what connects with people, it is all this stuff. So there's sort of this whole psychological bent that we feel is fluffy or esoteric or not relevant. But if you do it in a way that works for you, like your audience is like your tribe. I mean, they're not just people who listen, like they're your ideal customers.
That's right. That's exactly right. I remember listening to one of your solo podcasts, must be 18 months ago or so, and you were going through some difficult times in the business at that time, and you pretty well laid it all out, you know, total transparency, shared it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty what's the word? That's quite courageous.
Thank you. So,
and I related to it, you know, because some of the things that, some of the challenges that you were coming up against, I was experiencing them as well. So it's kind of like, you know, okay, I'm going to look forward to the next podcast when hopefully you're going to talk to me a little bit more about how you're going on this journey and I might learn something more from that. So,
well, you know, I was just going to say thank you. I totally appreciate that, Jürgen. And it was funny because when I was in this mastermind and I was around people who were just no problem, six figure months all the time. And it was like, what am I doing wrong? Right. And these, a lot of these people were, they were high ticket services and they were spending a ton of money on ads. Okay. So there's that. But I remember a light bulb going off when they finally shared that they had done this big promo webinar for their mentor. Nobody bought. You know, nobody responded. It was just, it totally fell flat on their face. Or when they were getting, you know, snarky internet trolls leaving comments on their ads and stuff. And I thought, you know, there's value. I don't think less of you guys because something failed. I know that you're doing well. It's like, it makes me feel less like I'm doing something wrong. And it's simply part of the process. So hopefully that's what my sharing does.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I've just started interspersing some solo podcasts with my interview series because I've decided that's going to make it a little bit easier for me to keep it going on a weekly basis. But, you know, my solo ones are 15 minutes at the moment. I'm sort of struggling to talk a little bit longer than that.
Well, you know what? It's, what I do too with that is I write the post out first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I launched another podcast with my friend John Perez, and originally we went through this whole branding thing, and it was Freedom Papers Podcast, and it totally made sense to us at the time. We've gotten great downloads, great responses, but then we went, this isn't super clear. Like, we actually have merchandise that says F the hustle, because I'm so tired of that word. And I think that there's a balance when you work from an inspired place, you know, that just trust yourself. Life is not to be hustled through. I'm not going to, you know, skip dinner with my family to hustle through this. Or I just, it's the author James Altucher calls it hustle porn, which I think is funny, you know.
I haven't actually worked out what that word means yet, but I keep seeing it everywhere, and I think, what is this? What are they on about?
Yeah, well, it's this whole, like, you know, work hard or do the effing work, and this, like, I'm like, stop yelling at me. I'm working, you know, and it was just, as I've gotten older, and, you know, definitely just, I know what I want my life to feel like and how I want to move through the world, that. And it's funny because that message is resonating. So what we did is we, and I do want to get back, I had a point, but the, like, we had t-shirts and mugs and stuff. And then we actually spelled it, the word is, it's like F hashtag the @ and K. And I'm like, I told John, I said, I'm going to go with the hashtag F the hustle because I'm never going to walk around wearing that. But the point is, we shared the mugs on Instagram. People are like, oh my God, where do I get that? I want that. I want that. Because, because you're already working, building a business. It is work. You don't need to be told to hustle harder. Like, Gary Vaynerchuk is an anomaly. He is, you know, a rare breed. He thrives on that. Not everybody wants that lifestyle. And it doesn't mean you're wrong for not wanting that crazy hustle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Gary Vaynerchuk's Gary Vaynerchuk. Somebody else doesn't need to try to be Gary Vaynerchuk because that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I brought that whole story up about the podcast. What did you ask me before then?
Oh, we were just talking about the solo podcast. Oh. And yeah.
So what I do is, so I write the post out first, and what I found helps a lot, because when you said, you know, that one show that you listened to where I was just kind of raw about stuff, I was like, God, I hope I did do an update. Because somebody said to me when I had interviewed Jason Hornung, which was the Facebook ad agency I hired, they said, did you ever do a follow-up episode about how you did with your ads? I was like, no, and I should. You're right. So what John and I do now is we do a quick update. So for the solo shows, you know, I mean, you can take a few minutes to, you know, anything you talked about, just... Because that was our goal with that show, was very specifically to say, like, we ran a giveaway and it didn't do what we thought, but we did this and this is what worked and this is what didn't work. Or, you know, talking, he's doing these daily emails too, and talking about how, well, my affiliate income for this has almost tripled because of the daily emails and what else I'm doing with that. And like, my bounce rate, Jürgen, has probably dropped 30%. Since doing this style of content and stuff. So with the solo shows, though, I have to write out the post sort of as my guide. So I write it first, but then I always do this little quick, hey, guys, what's going on? Let me give you a quick update. Or, you know, I just share some randomness. And I just, you know, so that works for me. Like, I write it out first, and then I use it as a guide.
Yeah. Oh, I will take that advice on board. One of the things I love about these podcasts when I interview people is that it's always like an hour's masterclass.
I feel the same way when I interview. I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm cheating. Like, I just got like an hour of somebody's wisdom. So it's like, right? Like, what do I want to know?
Exactly. It's good. Yeah, I love doing the podcast. I like your take on it too. I love doing them. When I first started, and we'll give a big shout out to Troy Dean, because he's the one that suggested strongly that I get into this and helped me get started. So I did. And to me, it was a way to reach out to my international relationships that I'd built over, you know, a long corporate career, and that I hadn't really reconnected with, and I knew that a lot of people there were in fairly senior positions in large innovative organizations. So, you know, the whole idea of the podcast was around the theme of innovation, innovation in marketing, of course, which is what the niche that I'm in, but then around, you know, what else is going on in innovation. And it's amazing then that people connected me with other people, and I've met some pretty inspirational people through that that I didn't know before. Plus all of the people that I did know, of course, they're inspirational too, and learned a heap of things about what they're doing and the challenges they're facing, and the achievements that they've been able to achieve as a result of the work they're doing.
That's awesome. And don't you find that, like, with each conversation, you kind of get this renewed, re-inspired, like, I don't know, it always kind of, I could be having a rough morning. I'm like, well, I've got an interview scheduled. Next thing you know, I'm done with that interview. And I'm like, I'm ready to go create something phenomenal, yeah. You know?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is inspirational. It's good to talk to people.
Yeah. It's like you're on an island, right? That's kind of like yeah. You're not in an office, but it is. It's that connection piece. And that's why I think, like, again, podcasting is like the ideal medium, because you get multiple types of content, and it's just a connection, and people can, you know, they can hear how you mean something, where it's kind of like an email that you can read something and you're going to interpret it how you're going to interpret it. It may not have been meant that way, but audio is different.
That's right. Yeah. So, I'd like to cycle back though to how did you grow your podcast audience when you first started it? Was it through your list primarily?
I wish I had a really good answer for you here. I just stuck with it, Jürgen. I mean, really, I was very committed to doing it because I enjoyed it. And, well, I mean, podcasting has been around a long time, but even 3.5 years ago, it wasn't as popular. And so what the beauty, this is why I like the balance. Like, when we started doing podcast services, because it was like a done for you. Literally, the client records, we do everything else. We do production, we do the posts, we do the social media, all that stuff. And I always told people, like, I really believe in the solo show with the interview, like every other, because one with the solo show is you're establishing yourself as an authority and they're really getting to know you personally. And I think that that is just priceless. And then with the interview, it's like, you're going to get, like, I'm going to share this interview with my audience when it goes live. So you're going to get more exposure to my audience. And so you're allowing me your platform to share who I am and what I'm about. And if it resonates with people, I might get some subscribers. So again, it's like, it's just this massive goodwill of, let me use my platform to share your message. And so that's where I found was really helpful. And it for a while, when I had a full-time project manager, like, we were sending out like thank yous. Like, I had this whole, it was like a big cup and a mug. It was like an acrylic cup and it was printed, and we had thank you cards and stickers, and we sent goodies and thanks for being on the show. It just got to me a bit much. I'm like, I need more of an automated something to do that. But so then what would happen, of course, is those people would then take pictures. Look what I got from Kim Doyle, whatever. And it was just, but that didn't come for a couple years, Jürgen. So I should say that. But more than anything, it was just sharing it. And I can tell you, I used to not even email about, I don't know what it was. I got so in my own way about promoting myself. And then I just was like, I'm going to do this daily email. And I called it my almost daily. I just stepped into it. But really, with the podcast, I think it was just because I just was myself, you know, and I use a lot of self-deprecating humor. I know how silly I can be at times. And so, you know, and I make up words and whatever. So, but it's just being able to show up as myself. But I think the growth of the podcast initially, there's a few factors. My site had been online for, you know, 5 years. So there's a decent SEO piece there, and I'm not an SEO person at all, but so that was there. I did have a list. I did have an audience, but it was, I just reached out. I've never had anyone say no to a podcast interview. Well, that's not true. I had one designer who's like, I'm really not a public person. I was like, that's okay. And what happens is when you start looking like at your stats and stuff, like I did a solo show one night. I must have recorded it like at 8 o'clock at night. And it was, I was just I was amusing myself because I was just tired. I'm like, I don't know if I should do this. And I got a response from somebody who said, that was hysterical. You should do more of those. And I was like, well, there we go, you know. Mm. And so then I started finding that the solo shows were sometimes more popular than interviews and stuff. So it's just simply, I just stuck with it, Jürgen. There's so many ways to push that today. You know, like Stu McLaren, great name in the WordPress space, amazing human being. You know, he's getting ready to launch a podcast, and I saw where I didn't click through the whole funnel piece of it, but, you know, he said the podcast is coming. If you're willing to give an honest review, if you listen to it, we'll give you this. You know, like Thrive Themes has podcast funnels on the back end of it. You know, I just only have so much bandwidth. I would love to say I was a funnel master and I did all these things, but really it's just consistency and connection, you know? So you have to, like, I don't know in terms of the topics with your audience, like what resonates more? Have you seen with the different interviews, like what type of content is resonating more with your audience?
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on the interview.
Yeah.
You know, we have a range of people from different industries and different personalities, and so that tends to resonate with different people as well.
Well, yeah, which is huge. And I think the other thing is, in terms of this promotion stuff, you know, do you use CoSchedule?
Yeah.
Okay, I am just, like, I got a box of swag from them because I love them so much and I share everything they do. I need to do, like, a really good post on them. But CoSchedule, any of those other tools, it's like, I have finally gotten smart about making sure that my content, my posts get scheduled frequently and rescheduled, and I'm putting it out there. And so now, and it's just, here's the funny thing. So I use the Monster Insights analytics plugin, which they're doing a revamp and I can't wait to see the new dashboard, but it's fun to look at where my traffic comes from too. And so now, you know, ActiveCampaign, my email provider, is one of my top five traffic sources. So what does that tell you, right? That, and if you've been on my list, you'd know that I've only been doing this for a few months. And it's, so it's fascinating to see that. So I know that, you know, iTunes and Stitcher, or when people tweet things, or like, I got someone that said to me once, they tweeted, I think Kim Doyle would be fun to have a pint with. And I was like, I would be. But so I know that, like, my personality is coming through.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
Right? So it's just be you. And I know that sounds so trite, unless you have some corporate, you know, where you really are being paid by a company to represent their brand, just show up. And truly, I think that's what's worked for me.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I have to say, it does really work for you. You know, you do come across as genuine. You come across as somebody, as that person said, you know, I'd like to have a beer with you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's essentially the advice you're giving, isn't it? Sort of just be yourself. And
yeah, you know, people run into that with content all the time. When Troy was in town for that meetup in this city, and GoDaddy hosted it in the office, it was really great. There was a couple people I connected with in the Bay Area, because, like, I don't go to WordCamps or meetups, and it's not that I don't like WordPress, obviously, but it's just my time is tight, and so I'm just selective, and I kind of live out in far inland from San Francisco. So everything's, you know, barrier traffic. Everything's a trek. Yeah, anyways, yeah. So I was having a couple conversations, though, that night, and two women said the exact same thing, but I don't know what to write about. I don't know what to share. And I'm like, the easiest content is simply to share your journey. Just talk about what you're doing, what's working. You know, I started doing how to use pre-Genesis, like how to use StudioPress themes. And then I started doing Genesis for the user, again, not programmers. Mm-hmm. And it just resonated with people. And I'm talking, like, I had one person tell me that I needed to learn to use Camtasia because I made them dizzy. I'm like, okay, duly noted, I'll get better. But I did it anyways. And so it's just, you know, that element of just sharing your journey is your content. And then from there, you'll get some data. So you're going to have to pay for data, whether it's through your time or through paid traffic, one of the two, but you need to put something out there.
Yeah, great advice. Thanks for that. I'd take that on board. I am looking at another opportunity, which is pretty exciting. And part of that is a consideration to launch another podcast, which I think would be really ideal for this as well. So I might be doing it twice as often. I think
It's fun though, right?
It is fun. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe I need to have a cardboard cutout of somebody that I put behind it when I do a solo one, because I find it very easy to have a conversation with somebody. It's really just a telephone conversation, and it's being recorded, and that becomes the podcast. But doing a solo one somehow is just a lot more challenge. So I've been playing a lot with Facebook Live recently, and I find the same issue there. You know, I can get up in front of an audience in live. I don't have an issue public speaking. I can get up. I can, you know, deliver a great speech, audience engagement, and so on. But get up in front in an empty room in front of a phone and do Facebook Live, and I kind of start to get all self-conscious and shaky and whatnot.
Well, I haven't jumped into Facebook Live, and it's funny. I know I have to step up my video game, but this is brutally honest. I'm like, I don't want to have to do my hair and makeup all the time, and I know that I shouldn't be worried about it, but I'm like, you know, if I were 20, 25, that'd be different, but I'm not. I'm like, so we'll see. But I'm like, I know there's a value, but there's also this idea, right? I don't know if you saw this, but where did I see it recently? That Facebook is actually going to let you like schedule or announce or do something to actually promote when you're going to be live, you know? So that might help. Like I did two Periscopes, you know, but it was funny, but I announced my list that I was doing a Periscope that day at like a 12, and then I had 100 people on. I'm like, okay, I can't get 100 people on a webinar, so people want this stuff, right?
I've had audience on there. That's not the issue. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the feeling that you're in the room on your own. It's kind of like remote.
There you go. Yeah, you should do a cardboard cutout of somebody. Like, tell Troy, hey, I need to pose for a picture so I can.
That's right. <yeah. laughs>
I can be talking to you. You know, and there's somebody who's prolific and he hustles, but like he doesn't live the hustle. I can't. Troy's a great example of somebody who creates and follows through, but I don't know. He lives his life. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to get on Twitter and tag Troy on this episode as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this has been absolutely fabulous, Kim. I mean, I've got heaps more questions here, but we might have to do another episode because it's almost the hour mark now. So I think it's time we moved on to the buzz, which are the five questions I ask every guest. And it's an innovation round designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with tips from your experience. And we've already got a lot of tips, but now we're going to condense them into something really inspirational. Hopefully you're going to give us something that will inspire people to go out and do something awesome.
I hope so too.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Master the fundamentals. And I know that sounds contrary, but you master the fundamentals and the innovation. Like, I have more ideas than I know what to do with now, because I've got this massive foundation that runs, and it keeps the cog going, so to speak. But if you get the fundamentals mastered, like, the innovation is kind of endless.
That's great advice. So get the fundamentals, which are kind of like the environment and the structure of what you're doing, right?
Yeah, look at Michael Jordan basketball. I always use that example, and I'm not a huge sports person, but how many free throws did he practice throwing? And then you look at the phenomenal things he was able to do on the court because he mastered fundamentals.
And I think he was the one that said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
I think that may have been Wayne Gretzky. Not to correct you on your show.
That's right. It was Wayne Gretzky. You're right. Yeah.
I don't follow hockey either, but I know quotes.
Yeah. All right. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
The podcast. Every time, it's the connections. You have like these conversations, like there's an idea will spur and from it, you know. So I would say, I was going to say two things, the podcast, but it's also just through the doing, you know, creative writing. Like, I don't know how to write half the time until I start, or I have an idea and a topic, but it's you just have to do it. So I didn't really answer probably. The podcast is phenomenal. I get ideas from every guest that I talk to. But that and just doing it.
Yeah, great. I love it. Yeah. All right. What's your favorite tool or system for improving your productivity and then allowing you to be more innovative?
Oh, that's a good co-schedule. I love co-schedule because I'm kind of old school. I've got project management for web work and stuff, but there's only so many web apps and stuff that I want to log into. So I'm going to go ahead and say co-schedule.
Okay, that's good. So, and like all the things that Kim's mentioned, we'll have links to those in the show notes so that people can investigate them further. I hear what you're saying about the tools. I'm on a bit of a mission at the moment to consolidate tools. So it's sort of in various discussion groups. I mean, people are saying, why don't you try this for project management, or why don't you try this one for communication? I said, well, okay, if I'm going to try something new, it has to replace two other things. So I'm on this mission to consolidate.
That's a great blog post, the mission to consolidate. And, you know, like, I love finding tools and stuff, but I've gotten better at, like, if it's not going to help me with what I'm working on, I don't really jump into it. I'm in a mastermind, and, you know, the gals are on Slack, and I'm like, you guys, it's a distraction for me. So I can only have like one communication tool open at a time.
Well, that's where I've found a couple of really neat tools that help with that. And one of them is called Meet France, FRANZ. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called Rambox. And it allows you to actually bring together Skype and Slack and Messenger. What else have I got there? Basically in one window. It's kind of like you've got a browser window and these things are all up there. So if you get a notification in any of them, then the little icon shows up that you've got something there. So you don't have to switch around between different windows. You just click on the tab. So that's your one communication hub.
Is that Ranbox? What is it?
R-A-M for mother.
Oh, Ram. Okay.
Rambox, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. Thank you.
All right. So what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Probably email. And, you know, it's funny. A lot of people use project management and stuff, but I use MixMax. And so we'll have, you can go in and schedule and you can have templates. And so it's where's this. The other thing is, you know, depending on the person on the project, but I don't do a lot of billing anymore. I'm like, you give me your credit card, you're getting charged. So it's, you know, if they're paying at a certain point, they're gonna be like, wow, well, we've paid for this. We got to get this done. So, it's also part of why I kind of want to get out of client services. I mean, I've got awesome clients right now. They're all awesome to work with. But at the end of the day, like, I let the project manager go. I mean, I had to have her, and she was what kept stuff going. I'm probably the cog in the the interruption that causes things to slow down more than the clients.
Yeah. And I think you did a blog post or a podcast episode on that once too, probably a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I love MixMax for email, because it does let you track. You can check, you know, if you need to see when people have opened it. It allows you to set follow-up dates real easily. It allows you to schedule the emails, which is great, because if I think of something at 11 o'clock at night and then write it in an email to a client, last thing I want to do is hit the send button then, so I'll schedule it to go out at 9 the next morning. And follow-ups are great. So I've got things that end up telling me, hey, there hasn't been a response to this one. Really good.
Yeah, I love it. I was just like, as soon as I saw that, oh, they've read this like four times. Okay, you know, but instead of like, did you get my email?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. So what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves? And I think I might know.
The Dr. Seuss quote, you know, be you, no one is youer than you. I mean, that is the easiest way, is if you are yourself, nobody's going to be able to compete with you. And, you know, not to get like esoteric, but there's some spirituality stuff that I follow. But one of the things they said was, you know, if you're in alignment with who you are and what you're about, it's like there is no competition. You know, when you're in alignment with your own truth and your messaging and whatever your business is, but if you're doing it authentically as you, there's no competition. So just be you.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. All right, that's great. So what's the future then for you and for the WP Chick and the podcasts? And you mentioned, you know, the F the Hustle podcast as well.
Yeah, so the WordPress shit gets great. I'm actually about to I've got a new theme I've been working on that's clearer with the messaging, and it's literally WordPress and marketing. And I'm kind of going backwards in terms of with the traffic. I'm like, there's a lot of, you know, it's kind of funny to me that I don't have a how to set up and install WordPress on the WordPress chick. So kind of going back, but I'm like working with GoDaddy. They've done a really good job with, I don't know if you've seen their new onboarding with Beaver Builder Lite, and they're getting very involved in the community, and they've got new leadership in WordPress and stuff. So it's like kind of setting up. So with the WordPress chick, I'm keeping it simple. Like I'm going to start doing some coaching again, but just some products and the coaching through that. It's real simple. Like I have a product that I've done. It's not out just yet, but how to build your Thrive Opt-in funnel start to finish. Here's some templates. Here's some email copy, you know, that, and not like huge courses. I'm working through Troy's, holy moly, Rockstar Empires. And I'd like to do a podcast course because I took a couple podcast courses and so much of it focuses on the technology. And I'm like, it's about the content. It's about your connection to your audience. And so the division that my company did was influence podcasting. Cause that's where, you know, so I'm going to be working through that as well. And then it's hustlefree.net is a site, and the podcast is the Hustle Free Podcast. The merchandise is all the F the Hustle. We're going to, here's a great, and I'll make this super quick, Jürgen, but when we launched this, it was the fastest I have ever implemented anything because the idea had a hold of us. There was not this goal to get this, you know, but we had the idea July 18th. We launched it August 8th, I think. 5 episodes the first week, and then we did, you know, we cranked it, and it has been flowing. So I love the physical newsletter that I get from Ben Settle. I love his model. So we're going to be publishing a recurring revenue model around that. But we launched it. Nobody bought. It was like, huh, here's a great point is we know better. I think we were both banking on our individual audiences as opposed to building a new audience, building up the trust and the value. We get the minimum viable audience. And so we're focused on that for the next couple months now. We're going to keep podcasting. We're going to continue building an audience, do a Facebook group, and start doing some challenges, like whether it's, you know, a daily email, or if the goal is to create more content or to finally get that thing up for sale, whatever it is. But we want a community of people who understand you need to do the work, but you don't need to ruin your life in the process or give everything else up. So that's it. Like, I'm going to keep stuff simple, but I'm excited about, you know, both. They complement each other.
Yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. And, you know, you've mentioned Ben Settle a number of times here. So, I'm definitely note that down, and we'll have a link to his website and his resources for the audience as well. And you mentioned Troy a couple of times. So the Rockstar Empires course is, just for those that don't know, it's opening again soon. It's an awesome course teaching you how to build online courses and doing it in a way that actually engages the audience rather than, like you said, focused on the technology or the tools. So it's great. So, and I'm looking at to build some things with that as well soon.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'll take on board the advice you've given there around building the audience to start with, which is a key learning that Troy points out in that course, Troy and Christina. All right. So, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to anybody who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
Well, I feel very redundant, Jürgen, and I'm sorry, but you have to show up. You know, I wrote up, just show up. And I don't mean that like, you know, be where you're supposed to be. But there is this, you know, people get very caught up in planning and strategies and this. And it's like, no, you got to publish it. You got to create it. You need to put your thing out into the world. And so at some point you just show up and you do it. I wrote a post and it was, this was a while ago, but it was why fake it till you make it is ass backwards. Because if you, right? Because the thing is, if you're not doing anybody any good, if you're faking it, like it's a lot better to share like this sucked or this didn't work or whatever it is. It's a lot more valuable. So that's like what John and I did. I do it on the WordPress chick, what we did on the other podcast. It's like, let's tell people the giveaway didn't do what we thought it was going to do, or we launched this and nobody bought. So we're stepping back. We both know better. We just got caught up in the moment. That is so much more valuable to somebody listening to, wow, well, they did this, this, and this, but they totally forgot a big piece. I'm not, doesn't bother me to say that. So it's, you have to be willing to show up, you know, and fail forward.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. I love that. And you said something earlier in the podcast about being a slow learner, and I thought that really rang a bell with me, because I often think to myself, you know, that when I have that aha moment, I think, oh, you know, it's about 10 years too late. Why am I such a slow learner?
I've heard build your list. I know to create content. I know I'm supposed to be emailing, and it's like, but you know, at the same time, you're gonna like, I do believe in the, you know, when a student is ready, the teacher appears. Like I finally feel like everything I've done for the past 8.5 years is just like all the puzzle pieces are starting to fit, and that's all right. I'm still able, you know, to feed my family, so we're good.
That's right. That's the important thing, and obviously you've got time to enjoy life, which, you know, very clearly comes across that you're doing that. So that's great.
I like my naps.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Kim. This has been really great. It's been a great privilege to have you here. And I have to admit for the audience that I was totally off script here. So my prepared questions and script, I think we didn't touch, we only touched on one or two of those. We went totally off script, but I think it's been a huge, hugely valuable interview. And where can people reach out and say thank you, Kim?
First of all, thank you for having me, Jürgen. Just the WordPress chick, it's thewpchick.com. All my social profiles are there. I think most of my social media, with the exception of a Facebook page, is my name, Kim Doyle, D-O-Y-A-L. But you can connect with me through the WordPress chick. It's probably the best spot.
Okay, and we'll have those links included in the show notes as well. So finally then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
Ooh, that's a fun one. I would have to say Carrie Dills. Are you connected with Carrie?
I'm not, but I do follow her work.
Okay, yeah. Carrie was one of my first 10 interviews, maybe. And, you know, she is a programmer and stuff, but she's probably one of... She's just amazing. She's a kick in the pants. She's super fun. But she's wicked smart and just a pleasure to consider a friend.
Okay. Well, we'll... hopefully we can get an introduction from you. So, Carrie, look out for an invitation from us at InnovaBiz for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Kim Doyle.
My pleasure. I would love to do that. Thank you again for having me, Jürgen.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today, Kim. I've really enjoyed this immensely. I've got a whole page of notes scribbled all over the place, so I'm going to review those afterwards. And as you said earlier, it's going to be it's going to set me up for the whole day today.
Excellent.
Thanks very much. So all the best for the future of the WP Chick and for Hustle Free. And let's keep in touch. I'll keep reading those daily emails.
All right. Thanks so much, Jürgen.
Thanks. Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Kim as much as I enjoyed this interview and learning about how she produces all that content and her podcasts. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Kim Doyle. That is K-I-M-D-O-Y-A-L. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/Kim Doyle. That'll have all of the links, everything we spoke about on this episode there for you in the show notes. Now, Kim suggests that I interview Carrie Dills, who is also well known in the WordPress world and hosts officehours.fm on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So, Carrie, keep your eye on your inbox for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Kim Doyle. Thank you for listening. Pop on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave us a review, because not only do reviews help us get found, your feedback also helps us to improve. Now, if there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, please send them to us and we'll do our best to address those on a future podcast. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.